ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3. Chapter 3 is called Yamaraj Instructs His Messengers. Messengers means Yamadutas. They had come to arrest Ajamil, who was committed so many sinful activities, and ready to haul him off to hell, as they do all the time. And they were stopped by another group, the Vishnu Dutas, said, "You cannot take that man." And so, even though he committed so many sinful activities, so they Yamadutas came to Yamaraj to complain, "Where's the justice? This man has committed crimes. He's ready to be punished, and now these Vishnu Dutas have come and interrupted him." So now he's explaining to them what the problem, why they couldn't take him. Of course, we know the story that Ajamil had in his last days, when he saw the horrible Vishnu, Yamadutas coming, called out for his son to save him. He's very attached to this little boy. The son's name was, fortunately, Narayan. So he chanted the name of the Lord. And for that reason, all his sinful reactions were eradicated. So the record was erased. That's why they couldn't take him. So he's explaining about this now. So this is text 31 from that chapter, Yamaraj instructing his messengers. Okay, so 6.3.31.
Tasmat
Sankirtanam Vishnor Jagannamangalam Amhasam Mahatam Api Kauravya Vidhi Aikantika Niskritam Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnor Jaganmangalam Amhasam Mahatam Api Kauravya Vidyai Kantika Nishkittam Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnor Jagan Mangalam Mamasam Mahatam Api Kauravya Vidyai Kantika Nishkittam
Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnor Mahatam Api Kauravya Vidyai Kantika Nishkritam.
Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu
Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu
Jagam Mangalam Mahasam
Jagam Mangalam Mahasam
Mahatam Api Kauravya
Mahatam Api Kauravya
Kantika Nishkritam.
Vidyaya Kantika Nishkritam.
Ladies.
Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu.
Jagayam Mangalam Amrasam.
Tasmat.
Therefore.
Sankirtanam.
The congregational chanting of the holy name. Vishnu of Lord Vishnu.
Jagat Mangalam.
The most auspicious performance.
Within this material world.
Amasam.
For sinful activities.
Mahatam Api.
Even though very great.
Kauravya.
O descendant of the Kuru family.
Vidhi.
Understand.
Aekantika.
The ultimate.
Nishkritam.
Atonement.
Translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. Srila Prabhupada's report. We should know that although Ajamiya chanted the name of Narayana imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. The chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from the reactions of sinful activities. One should not conclude that one may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reactions. Rather, one should be very careful to be free from all sins and never think of counteracting sinful activities by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, for this is another offense. If by chanting a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him. But one should not intentionally perform sinful acts. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschachare Shatarane Om Mangyanam Timuran Vasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksuru Miritum Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha So, how to perform this most auspicious activity for the entire universe? Sankirtan. We have to understand actually the complete meaning of the word Sankirtan. Kirtan means to glorify the Lord. But there's this prefix, Sankirtan. The Sankirtan has a number of meanings. One meaning is when people come together, collectively, everybody, Sankirtan. That's why you say congregation in the group of devotees. So that's the normal meaning we have of Sankirtan. And also with this San also is the idea of giving it to others, because San can mean everybody. Not just a group of devotees chant, but everybody in the universe should chant. The whole world should chant. Everybody should come together in the chanting. So it also includes the idea of as Prabhupada used the word broadcast. Originally in English, the word broadcast was used for when the farmers would take a bag of seeds and throw it out like this. That was called broadcasting seeds. Then when later there was radio and stuff, then it became broadcast. So he needs to throw out to everybody. So it's a broadcasting. That's also Sankirtan. But there's another meaning of Sankirtan, the word sun. And that means it's used to indicate that something is thorough or complete. The complete chanting, the thorough chanting. Oh, you see this prefix used this way in the word Sanskrit. Sanskrit means something that is done perfectly. San, it's not just us. So Sanskrit means a perfect, something is perfectly done, the perfect, the language that is Sanskrit. So it means the perfect chanting. Now that perfect chanting has to be done to come to that level of perfection and chanting. It has to be done in the association of devotees. That's one thing. But it also indicates that in the chanting, there's actually a process for cultivating the holy name. So Prabhupada has indicated here that Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan imperfectly. And if we go back to the beginning of this chapter, or the previous chapter actually, when Ajamil's history is given, the summary of the chapter in the beginning, Prabhupada writes, in summary, although the sinful Ajamil meant to call his son, the holy name of the Lord Narayan, even though chanted in the preliminary stage, Nam Abhasa, was able to give him liberation. So that's what happened. It was not, he said he chanted it imperfectly, it was not the pure name. But at the same time, it was not exactly offensive. What if he were chanting the whole, if he were at the time of his death, he was simply chanting with the idea that I will chant so that the Yamadutas will come, not come, and then I can have more lifetime, and then I can commit more sinful activities, then that would be offensive chanting. Because one of the offenses against the holy name is to chant, to commit sins in the strength of chanting. That if I hear that the Hare Krishna mantra can remove me of sinful reactions, then I think, oh, okay, I can go out, I can do some sins, and I can always chant to get free from them. This can be a little subtle sometimes. We may think that because we're devotee, we may not worry so much about chanting. Well, okay, I may do something sinful, and I may suffer. But if it gets too bad, I can always start chanting again. So this is an offense against the holy name. And if we commit on the offensive chanting, then actually it will not be effective. So it has been explained that there actually Prabhupada describes three stages or three platforms of chanting. One is offensive. One is clearing. And one is pure. So the offensive stage means I am chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and committing offenses, but I'm not doing anything about it. I don't care. This is offensive chanting. Clearing stage means I am chanting, but I am trying to become free of offenses. It's not perfect yet, but I'm trying to become free. And the pure stage, there's no more offenses. So for the first, in the offensive stage, then it's Namapara. Not any better than letters of the alphabet, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. In the clearing stage is this Nam Abhasa. And in the pure stage is the Shuddhana, the pure name. Now there's different kinds of Nam Abhasa. For Ajamil, he was not even following a process, but still, he just called out the name of the Lord, and he was intending his son. His son had the name Narayan, but he said the name of the Lord. So that's imperfect. He said the name of the Lord without intending to, really. But still, that's a kind of namabhas. There are different kinds of namabhas. The example that's given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is that when Muslims are in distress, they say, Haram, Haram. But that's the name of Ram is there. So that's a kind of namabhas. So you can accidentally chant it. You can chant it jokingly or in jest and things like that. But if you're not doing it with some motive, that also counts as namabhasa. And this was in Ajamil's case. This was a kind of namabhasa. When we deal with it in the process of devotional service, then we have to be chanting while trying to give up offenses. We know what the offenses of the holy name are. And so we have to chant and avoid those offenses. Now the word abhasa in Sanskrit refers to light that's been projected into darkness, like a ray of light, not the, near the source, but gone far away from the source. Also, it means a reflection of light in a mirror or on the surface of water. That's also abhasa. So the example that's given of namabhasa, this is explained by Namacharya Haridas Thakur in a gathering. He compared namabhasa when a glimpse of the holy name, just a slight glimpse of the holy name, can destroy all sinful reactions and give liberation, he says. Just mere namabhasa. So he said it's like he compared it to in the morning, the dawning light of the sun. The sun is below the horizon, you cannot see the sun, but still the sun's dawning twilight is in the sky. So that's abhasa. So he says, just as and at that time, in the morning, just when the dawning light is of the sun is in the sky, the forest becomes safe. At night, the forest is dangerous, because there are wild animals and there's thieves and robbers, dacoits as they say in India, and also there's these other kinds of beings, bhutas, prachalas, vishalas, ghosts, hobgoblins and so on. So all these three kinds of beings make the forest unsafe, but when it becomes just the dawning light, the wild animals go back to their dens and so on, and and the robbers go back to their hideouts, and of course Dracula has to return to his coffin, and so on. So it becomes safe. So he says, similarly, just this mere namabhasa will destroy sinful activities, sinful reactions, and actually bring one to the platform of liberation. When the pure name comes, the effect of pure name is Krishna prema, much higher than liberation even. So these are the three stages of chanting. So if we want to progress in Sankirtan, in all senses of the word, we must at least be on the clearing stage of chanting. Prabhupada was asked about this. It was something of a controversy in our movement in the 1970 and so on, when there was some a yoga group in Hawaii. There were some different idea. They were also chanting. They joined our movement for a while and then left again. Because they thought that ISKCON was too narrow, too much talking about don't do this, don't do that, and they had some idea of what it meant when you say there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. So they would have long kirtans, but they didn't care so much about the regulative principles and so on. So Prabhupada was asked about this, and he said, no, when you chant, you have to follow the process. Otherwise, it will not be effective. And he compared it to chanting the holy name without following the process to cooking with smoke. When you want to cook your breakfast on a fire, if your fuel is wet, your wood is wet, you'll get smoke. So if you try to cook your breakfast with smoke, then what will happen? First of all, you will not be very comfortable, because your eyes will become full of tears. And you'll be coughing all the time, and your body will become full of soot. And you'll have to wait a very long time to eat your breakfast. So, the means that Prabhupada said you have to have a hot fire. And dry fuel, you have to have a hot fire. And then, very quickly, you get your meal. Then Prabhupada said, you can argue that where there's smoke, there's fire. And he said, it's true, there's some little bit of heat there. But what good will be that little bit of heat? He said, you can go on cooking with smoke for 300 years. <He said. laughs> So this explains sometimes the problems we have had, that people have been chanting, and they say nothing is happening, or I've been chanting, and then leaders have fallen down, they've been chanting for so long. What is the problem? Well, here's the answer. Is that people have been cooking with smoke. So we have to, and if we're committing offenses, and not doing anything about it, then we are on this offensive stage. That's why it's urged that devotees have to be very, very careful to chant while becoming free from offenses. As soon as we are trying, we're on the clearing stage. We're sincerely trying, we're on the clearing stage. So actually, It is a simple thing to go from the offensive to the clearing platform. And as soon as we're on the clearing platform, then the effects of chanting will become manifest, because the sinful reactions will go away. You'll feel the spiritual progress is taking place. You'll have realized knowledge. The preaching will become potent. The chanting of the holy name will become potent, simply by being on the clearing stage. So one has to do like this. See, many people have this experience in ISKCON, that in the very beginning, they have so much realization, they're all filled with enthusiasm, and everything is changing, and so on. And then somehow or other, it goes away and becomes difficult. And usually the explanation that's given is that in the beginning Krishna gives you some special mercy to encourage you, but then he takes it away and then you have to do some things on your own. I think this is inaccurate. The better way to explain what happened is, in the beginning we were like Ajamya. We didn't know enough to commit offenses. This is my experience also. In the very beginning, you first come into contact with devotees, you think they're all great souls. You think that everyone's a pure devotee. But then later you get to know them. And maybe you have to live with them. And so in the beginning, when at least we were foolish and idealistic, simply thinking that they're all great devotees was very good for us, because we did not commit Vaishnava Parayana. But then we have to be in the association of devotees, and then we find there's some difficulties and naturally some friction. Then not to commit Vaishnava Parayana becomes more difficult. So like that. And in the beginning, we didn't know who the spiritual master was, or even what his orders were. So you couldn't disobey the order of the spiritual master. But once we found that out, then now you have to be very, very careful. So like this, I think what happened in the beginning, there was some nam abhasa, and people felt it. But then later on, it became, had more opportunity to get offenses. Well, here's an example. Let's say, for example, you're an ordinary citizen in the country. So you may do so many things of no consequence. But then you become a government minister. Or say there's a king, and suddenly the king says, okay, now I'm going to give you a special position. Now if you make a mistake, off with his hands. We always see this in this day too. Some politician may do something that everybody does, really. Nobody cares that much. You know, cheats on the tax or some little thing. But then he becomes a big politician. This little thing becomes big. All his enemies jump all over it, and so on. So he has an opportunity, but with that opportunity comes this risk. So to also cultivate the holy name, now we have to become careful. We can make advancement only in the association of devotees. So we have to be careful to follow the process now, and we have to chant while trying to become free from offenses. It doesn't mean that the offenses are gone right away. When the offenses are gone, then I will see Krishna face to face. That's the Shuddha Nam. Shuddha Nam means Krishna, and Krishna's name are the same. And so therefore, when the pure name is being chanted, the eyes are feeling with tears, the hair is standing on end, because this is the real holy name. Until that stage, there are some offenses there. So we have to chant the holy name in this mood. This is instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. in the second of the Shashastika prayers. Because he says there, he's reflecting in that second prayer about the mercy of the Lord. In the first prayer, he's described the blessings or the benedictions that come when Sankirtan is Vijaya, when it is victorious. Vijayate is Krishna Sankirtan. Then when it is achieved and Chetodhaka and Amajanam Bhava Maha, all these things happen one after another, good things. So first of all, that's the blessings of Sankirtan. It brings all these benedictions. And then he says, Namakari Bahuda Nijasarva, you have Tava Kripa, this is your mercy, O Lord, is that you have so many names. And in each of those names, you've put your spiritual potency. And furthermore, as far as chanting goes, there are not so many restrictions about place and rules and regulations. It's not like if you want to chant Gayatri Mantra. First of all, you have to be a Brahmana. Second of all the rules for chanting Gayatri, you have to sit down, face east 3 times a day, right time, do Achman, all these things. But for the Hare Krishna mantra, you pick up your beads and chant anywhere. Even if you're in a dirty place, you can chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So it's easier. So, Tava Kripa Bhagavan, this is your mercy. So much comes from the chanting, so many names, so full of potency, so easy to chant. This is your mercy, O Lord. Tava Kripa Bhagavan, Mamapi Duradaiva Nidhisamni Hajani Naruraga. But he says, my Duradaiva, misfortune. He mentioned this word, dur. My misfortune is that, in spite of all this, I'm still not attracted. No attachment to the names is in me. This is my misfortune. It is described in the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Last chapter is called the Shishastika prayers. So in there, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting, reciting these verses. And he describes the feelings that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing while chanting the verse. When he chanted this verse, two things are there. Dainya, humility, and lamentation, grief, sorrow. So this is, and this verse, the second verse, represents anartha nirvritti. The first verse is about shraddha, having full faith, or having some faith anyway, faith in the holy name, maybe not full faith yet, but I should have confidence that all these benedictions will come. This is the meaning of faith. That if I attain the mercy of the holy name, I will not lack anything. All good fortune, Shreya Kalya Vachan, all good fortune will be there. I should have faith. Second one is anartha nirvritti, indicates this stage. How to chant while becoming, how to become free from the unwanted things in the heart. We have to chant like that. That means, when Prabhupada translates this verse, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, my misfortune is that I commit offenses while chanting, and therefore no attraction. I have no attraction. So that's the meaning of this Durdaiva. We can think, here is the holy name. I'm chanting the holy name. Why am I not attracted? What is wrong with me? So I should understand that I am committing offenses. And therefore I have to be in the mood of trying to become free from these offenses and begging Krishna, please get me free. So this will happen. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also tells us in the Harinam Chintamani that if we want to become free from offenses, we must concentrate on this offense called inattentiveness, pramadaha. It says in the list of offenses, api pramadaha, inattentiveness while chanting. So he says this inattentiveness is actually the seed ground from which all other offenses come. And he says if we are not trying to become free from inattentiveness, then we will not be able to become free from all the other offenses. So, therefore, when we those of us who are serious, we take up the work of japa, of chanting on the beads. And so that's very much like a kind that's yoga, because one has to concentrate the mind. And be attentive. In other words, we are chanting, we put our mind on the holy name, our mind wanders back. If we just let our mind wander, go here, go there, as it does, all it wants to do, then that's offensive. Clearing stage means our mind wanders. When we notice it's gone away, I don't know how, but suddenly I was thinking of Krishna's name, calling Krishna's name, and suddenly I was thinking of something else, I bring it back. It wanders again, I bring it back. This is clearing stage. Pure stage, my mind is fixed on Krishna and it can't go anywhere else. If I try to think of something else, it'll go back. So we have to practice. And this is Krishna's advice to Arjuna. Because in the sixth chapter, Arjuna makes this complaint about yoga. It's not possible to control the mind. It's like trying to control the wind. It's like a hurricane or something. And Krishna's answer is no, you can do it. And he says there's two things, abhyasa and vairagya. Abhyasa means practice. Abhyasa yogena yuktena. By this practice, you can achieve direct association of the Lord. Abhyasa yoga, abhyasa. Practice means, what does practice mean? It means you do it over and over and over again. When you learn how to type or play a musical instrument, you have to practice. So abhyasa means repetition. You repeat. Your mind goes, you bring it back. Your mind goes, you bring it back. You don't quit. Next day, you do it again. When I was a child, my parents, I was taking violin lessons. And my parents said, did you practice yet? It was boring. Da 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 da. You had to force yourself. This is the nature of abhyasa. So sometimes chanting is like that. It's practice. The other thing he says is detachment. By proper practice and by detachment. Because this is the other thing, what causes our mind to be so undisturbed is sense gratification and material attachments. Then it becomes full of desire and hate. So these things, two things are done together, This is our son, this is what we call my son, Nama. We have some regulative principles and we try to become, chant to become free from offenses. We in this way, we are chanting on the clearing stage. And then then we can advance nicely. Because here he said, when in this verse, do a dhyavimitrisamiha janinanurada, he felt lamentation. Why am I not? His sorrow, why am I not? And then humility. What kind of a rascal am I? What kind of a fool am I? Here's the holy name Krishna is giving to me. What's wrong? Why is there no attraction? And so then, if one goes through this phase, then naturally the next thing will happen. We'll come to the platform of being fixed in Krishna consciousness. I know this works by my own experience, because at some point I figured out about chanting with attentiveness, not because I'd read so much, but somehow I took a vow that I would just really try to be attentive while chanting. And I started to try to concentrate my mind on the holy name and not let it wander. And then I discovered that my mind would go away, and not because I was thinking of anything else, but because I was feeling some kind of mental discomfort. And I thought, wow, what is this mental discomfort? Why should that be there? The chanting is not supposed to make you feel bad, it's supposed to make you feel good. But I was feeling this distress, kind of mental distress. Anyway, I decided that I would just endure it and see what happened. And this discomfort increased and increased, and then one day it was just came pouring out, and it was real, very serious sorrow, grief came out. And it was also clear what I was feeling grief about. I had this realization that I had turned away from Krishna and I'd come to the material world. And I felt so bad about that, it seemed like the worst crime, an unforgivable crime. But at the same time I was saved from despair, because I was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and therefore I realized Krishna didn't turn away from me. And so therefore I felt great gratitude for Krishna. I had done this crime, I turned away from him, but he did not reciprocate. And somehow I was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Now, although I just discovered, simply by trying, I didn't understand the Shishastika prayers. In those days, there was only one definition of Sankirtan: get out and distribute the books. You know, and we were chanting, that was something we did to get over with so we could go to get out there. So that was the early days, we were more passionate, I think. So I discovered these things quite by accident. It was only much later that I realized that actually it's in the Shishastika prayers. In fact, see, when this happened to me, I didn't tell anybody about it. Because we were told, chant and be happy. Because you feel bliss, you're high, follow, you know, and I was feeling grief. And so I thought I was a demon. The problem was that everybody else was a devotee, but I was a demon somehow. Yeah. So that was, but actually this is the process. Well, one has to regret that there are offenses. By that regret, then one is actually on the clearing stage of chanting, trying to become free of these offenses, and then we can progress in spiritual life. So there's a process for cultivating a holy name. In other words, we engage in Sankirtan in this sense, of cultivating the holy name so our chanting becomes more and more perfect. Then also our Sankirtan in the more public sense. We will also become empowered to give the holy name to other people, to bring other people into the association of devotees. This is the secret, will be the secret of success. We cannot spread the holy name without actually taking it ourselves. So now it's late. I think we just have to stop because we have a schedule. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hari Om. Jai.